the Big Blue hits Friday right here on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess. I'm John Schmelk. Every Friday, we're joined by Lance Medow. And Lance, the Giants heading into this game at 1-6, trying to get their first win in the division. And heading into the bye, they want that good feeling going into that bye, winning two straight.
An opportunity to build some momentum heading into that bye, and that's what's so key and important about a game like this. This is an opponent that they're very familiar with. This was a game that they led by 1 point, 22-21. They eliminate the turnovers. They eliminate the interceptions. They could have been looking at a victory the first time around.
And the Giants with zero division wins, they want to get that first win in the NFC East, potentially for future tiebreaker purposes. Time for the Adoramin news of the day, and unfortunately for the Giants, that's Brandon Jacobs. He's been listed as doubtful for the game on Sunday. That means more Peyton Hillis, more Michael Cox.
Well, both of them were thrown right into the mix in the last contest against Minnesota. Tom Coughlin and company very happy with the production they were able to get out of those two, specifically Peyton Hillis, who was on the couch a few weeks ago and all of a sudden stepped in. Wasn't great in yardage per carry, John, but provided a spark. He was an option in the receiving game and allowed Eli Manning to not press the envelope, drop it off in the flat, and gain some positive yards.
Let's take a look at the rest of the injury report and the other notables on this list. You have Sean Rogers, who has played some great football recently, is having a sore knee. He's having some issues with that knee. He's being listed as doubtful in this game. Then you have Jayron Hosley, who's also battling that hamstring injury. He's doubtful. You take a look at the rest of the guys, not a whole lot of surprises. Adrian Robinson is questionable for this game. And you take a look at the rest of the guys here, nothing a big surprise. But that Sean Rogers loss, Lance, could be a big one for the New York Football Giants. They've been great against the run so far this year, and Sean Rogers has a lot to do with that. LeSean McCoy, leading rusher in the NFL on Sunday.
Well, the one position they have a great deal of depth at, John, is defensive tackle. You have Marcus Kuhn, who they're waiting to bring off the pup list. You have Jonathan Hankins, who is itching to get more reps. So I don't know if it's that big of a concern that they lose Sean Rogers. The bottom line is, in order to stop LeSean McCoy, they need a group effort. It's not just going to come down to the defensive tackles. It's going to come down to just about everybody.
We are taking your calls on Big Blue Hits Friday at 201-939-4513. We have a very busy show. Let's get right to it and start on the defense. Though the Giants have been stopping the run well, they have not forced a lot of takeaways. Giants safety Anshar Roll knows that is a focus moving forward.
You know, that's always important. That, you know, that's extremely important. That's the name of the game for us, to create turnovers, give the offense more opportunities, you know, to do what they do best. And, we have to get more of them. This is a starting point for us. And, we're going to emphasize that a whole lot more. You know, see ball, go get ball.
Lance, last year when the Giants did not force takeaways, they didn't win a whole lot of games. This year, pretty much the same deal. How important is it for this defense to put the offense in some better positions to score some easy points?
It's a huge difference maker, John, and the turnovers don't necessarily have to come via the defense. If it comes from special teams, that's an added bonus, and that's what happened in the Minnesota game, so that you shorten the field for your offense. You don't stress Eli Manning and company out, and I think we saw signs of that in the last game, but they only have 10 takeaways on the season. You look at what Stevie Brown provided this team last season, they're still behind slightly off of last year's pace, so if they can get that going, that could really go a long way into turning losses into potential victories.
Now, one new addition that helped the defense so far this year is John Beeson. Beeson, the Giants hope, will also help forcing those turnovers. Now, he was a former teammate of Anshar Roll in Miami. So let's hear from Anshar Roll talking about John Beeson, and then John Beeson on Anshar Roll.
As long as he's healthy, you know, he's gonna be dynamic for us. And he's come here, and we see what he's brought to his defense already.
We played together for a long time in Miami, and we know each other well. We train in the off season sometimes, and it just seemed like a perfect fit.
And that brings us right to our Twitter question. This one comes in from NYG Men for Life. What has John Beeson meant to this defense, Lance Medow?
Well, quoting Justin Tuck, he's been a godsend. He's basically turned this defense around. Just two games under his belt, he's provided a great deal of energy, a great deal of passion, versatility, whatever vocabulary word you want to find. They were in desperate need of a playmaker in that linebacking core. And as you can see in this video, John Beeson has put his stamp on this defense.
And even talking about the stuff he's contributed off the field, he just seems to be a leader, that magnetic type of personality in the locker room, very much like Antrell Roll. I think he's really going to be a leader in there for the rest of the year.
Well, he has connections to Antrell Roll. They both went to Miami together, so they have ties there. They're both very vocal. And I think this is a hungry guy, John. During Carolina, with his days there, he lost his starting job, multiple injuries. He's looking to quiet the skeptics and make a statement here.
Beeson told a great story in the locker room this week. The moment he heard about the trade, that he could be going to the Giants, Roll was the first person he called. When Beeson got to Miami, Roll was really a guy that mentored him when he was a freshman there. So really a great connection there between two leaders on that Giants defense. Plenty more coming up on today's show. We heard from Jason Pierre-Paul and Akeem Nix, not to mention offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride. But first, let's take a look at the 10 things you need to know about this very long and storied Giants-Eagles rivalry.
Here are the 10 things you need to know about the Giants-Eagles rivalry. 10. The number of times opponents have thrown 5 touchdowns on the Philadelphia Eagles in franchise history, including twice by the Giants. Eli Manning most recently accomplished the feat in 2012. It was the regular season finale at MetLife Stadium. Previously, Norm Snead 3 touchdowns and Randy Johnson with 2 combined to do so in a 1972 meeting at Yankee Stadium. 9. The number of different starting quarterbacks for the Eagles since Eli Manning began his longest active streak at the position in 2004. Donovan McNabb, Coy Detmer, Mike McMahon, Jeff Garcia, A.J. Feely, Kevin Cobb, Michael Vick, Vince Young, and Nick Foles. 8. The number of stops at the line of scrimmage the Giants had against the Eagles in Week 5, tied for second most in franchise history.
Handoff left to McCoy, can't get to the outside. Pierre-Paul brings it down for a loss of a yard. Good contain on the edge by JPP.
7. The number of carries Philadelphia running back LeSean McCoy had in the second half against the Giants earlier this year, amounting to minus 4 yards. It was the lowest second half total of his career. 6. The number of wins the Giants have heading into the bye week under Tom Coughlin. They're 6-3 before the break and will have their bye after they play the Eagles. 5. The number of touchdowns Giants wide receiver Victor Cruz has against the Eagles. The most of his career against any opponent.
Manning back to throw, zips one left, caught by Cruz, runs out of a tackle to the 40, up to midfield, makes another man miss to the 45, down the left sideline, there goes Cruz, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 74 yards.
Talk about a team that wasn't supposed to have any weapons, they're the ones who are making the big plays right now, Bob.
4. The number of first downs the Giants held the Eagles to in a 23-point shutout in 1983, the fewest allowed in franchise history. 3. Eli Manning's 52 passes against the Eagles earlier this season were the third highest regular season total of his career.
Manning back, looks, he's under pressure. He's going to roll left, he lobs a corner of the end zone, caught by Randall.
2. The Giants have twice beaten the Eagles in the postseason, including the 1981 and 2000 campaigns. However, they lost their last two playoff meetings, 2006 and 2008, against Philadelphia, and are 2-2 overall. 1. Tom Coughlin's first game as head coach of the New York Giants was against the Philadelphia Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field, where the teams will play on Sunday. Despite losing the debut 31-17, Coughlin and the Giants went on to win the next 4 games.
And those are 10 more things you need to know about the Giants and Eagles rivalry. That gets renewed on Sunday down at Lincoln Financial Field. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number on Big Blue Hits Fridays. John Schmuck, Lance Meadow with you. Let's go to our phones. Say hello to Jonathan up in Connecticut. Jonathan, how are you?
Hello.
Go ahead, Jonathan. What's up?
Hold on.
You called us, Jonathan.
I have a question.
All right, go ahead. What do you got?
What's wrong with the Giants this year?
Well, they're not playing well, Jonathan. They're not playing good football. They're turning it over. Their defense has suffered, and they really are having problems all across the board. And, Lance, one of the places it starts is on the defensive line. They have not gotten the pass rush they've gotten in years past.
But the quarterback hits are increasing, so that's at least a positive. But you're right. The sack totals are down 48 in 2011, 33 in 2012. They're staring at the number 6 right now, and they're looking at each other, and they're wondering, all this talent on paper is not translating to the field right now.
And one of those guys looking at each other is Jason Pierre-Paul. And this week when he spoke to the media, he looked at himself in the mirror a little bit and talked about his lack of production so far this season. Remember, Jason Pierre-Paul had offseason back surgery, didn't really get back onto the practice field until 1 week before the season started. When he spoke to the media this week, he talked about how it might take a full offseason to get all his strength back that he lost after that surgery.
With training camp, I missed OTAs. Well, I did OTAs, but I missed the whole training camp and preseason. So, you know, those really, you know, are things that help your game. You know what I mean? Especially have you been off for a long season of time, so long period of time or whatever. So, like I say, right now I'm just, you know, I'm just getting better and better every day.
And Lance, certainly his production hasn't been what the Giants would have expected. And he simply is not putting up those numbers. And whether it's technique or health or whatever the case might be, he's not making enough plays.
He isn't. I think it's basically all across the board. But if we're going to pinpoint JPP, I think he's had ample opportunities to adjust. This is not the first year that offenses are seeing him. They're getting a lot of chop blocks in. They're double teaming him. These are things that the top defensive linemen in the league see on a daily basis. He needs to get around that. And clearly, the back injury is still something that he's trying to overcome as well.
Yeah, and remember, after a back surgery in the offseason, you can't lift weights, you can't do anything like that. So clearly, JPP saying he's not 100%, but he's going to play the rest of the season. You're on the field, you are expected to produce. Now, besides getting in shape and getting healthy, JPP is trying to make his game more effective on the field by looking at game tape. Here's what he said to the media earlier in the week.
I just got to change the way I'm doing things. So, like I say, I'm still getting better. You know, I'm going back looking at film, and I'm not trying to, you know, tweak my game so much that, you know, I lose focus of, you know what I mean, who I am or whatever. But as of right now, I'm just getting better.
And that brings us to our next Twitter question. And Lance, you mentioned it. The pass rush across the board has been a problem. Kiwanuka and Tuck not getting that sack production either. And this brings us to @MikeFarmer20. Do you think the pass rush is going to get better at some point this year?
Well, I'll go back to what I just touched on moments ago. The quarterback hits are up, and that's a positive sign. You want to get to the quarterback. You don't necessarily have to get a sack in the record books, but you want to get the hits so you can wear down the quarterback, and that's the key. Those numbers have increased progressively. You hope that they can build off of that moving forward.
And these defensive ends, and Justin Suh specifically, has been very good playing the run this year as well, something not to be underestimated. Meanwhile, the Giants' offense has been doing a better job of protecting Eli Manning than they did earlier in the offseason. They are going to have a bit of a change at center. David Bosch made a brief return last week, re-injured himself. Now Jim Cordell's back in that starting lineup. But it will not affect his preparation for the game.
I tried to prepare like I was a starter since I've been here. And then, you know, you have to be ready at any moment. Somebody could go down and you're going to go in and need to play. So you have to prepare like the starter. And so that's what it's been. And now I am. I mean, you know, maybe you pay a little bit more focus on, you know, hey, you're in there the first play. But yeah, I've tried to prepare like I was a starter the whole time.
Now, Lance, Jim Cordell has been a starter for most of the year. So David Bosch was almost the odd man in last week. Are they back in a bit of a comfort zone now with Jim Cordell at center?
I think it's safe to say they are in a comfort zone. Jim Cordell has had plenty of reps. They've built some continuity and consistency on the offensive line. It's not as if Cordell's stepping in for the first time this season. So you hope that with consistency on the offensive line, the running game will improve, pass protection will improve, because everything feeds off the offensive line. It's very hard to put up consistent numbers with respect to your offense if you're not getting good run blocking and good pass protection.
And the Giants' offensive line did make progress the 2 weeks prior to that Vikings game in running the football, but there was a bit of a step back on Monday night. A lot of penetration in that backfield.
And part of that could have been the changing in personnel. As you just mentioned, David Bosch was back in, Jim Cordell was back on the sideline. You want to have the same pieces week to week. You threw in a new running back in Peyton Hillis. Michael Cox got his first opportunity to contribute. Now we're going to have back-to-back weeks where you have the same personnel within the system. That should pay off in the long run.
Now, Lance, they've protected Eli Manning better, but do you think some of those early season protection woes has gotten in Eli's head just a little bit? And maybe that's why his mechanics are a little off. That's why he's not quite precise with some of these passes, because he's worried about that pass rush that was such an issue the first 3-4 weeks of the year?
This is uncharted territory for Eli Manning, John. He never has played with an offensive line that has struggled in pass protection. He's always at least had good, solid blockers in front of him. Running game hasn't always been there, but he's had good pass protection. Now, all of a sudden, he needs to think twice about getting hit. As a result, I think he's forcing some balls down the field. Last game, though, he realized it's okay to take the underneath routes.
And it's okay to take a sack at times as well. Much better than a turnover. That offensive line also blocking for the Giants running game. Our very own Anita Marks had to catch up with the newest Giants running back, Peyton Hillis. Let's take a watch.
Anita Marks here with Peyton Hillis, new addition to the backfield for the New York Football Giants. And looking back to last week's game, you played in 65% of the snaps. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, it does feel good. I still feel like I have a long way to go. You know, my legs still need to get underneath me, and, you know, I'm pretty sore after that. So, you know, I know it's going to take a couple of weeks, but I'm happy to be here, and, you know, happy to help, you know, help the team and help, you know, produce for them.
Offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride said that the time that you spent in Tampa working with Mike Sullivan, of course, the former quarterback coach here, and that system, implementing it here, has kind of eased you into really understanding this playbook. Any truth to that?
You know, I think so. You know, but with, you know, every new team and every playbook, even though a lot of terminology is the same, there's still a lot of stuff that's different. And, you know, that's stuff I got to grasp onto, and, you know, I got to learn quickly.
All right, so going up against the Philadelphia Eagles this week, they're 12th against the run. They've only given up about four or five touchdowns to running backs. Talk about this matchup and what you're up against in week 8.
You know, the Eagles are a good football team, and a good football team defensively. And, you know, we got our work cut out for us. But, you know, we just got to take every day and, you know, game plan against them and, you know, try to do the best we can. That's all we can do.
All right, so one of the compliments from the coaches was your hands coming in when you auditioned for the team. You were targeted 6 times against the Minnesota Vikings, looking to kind of carry that into the game against the Eagles and see you be a part of the passing attack?
You know, whatever compliment they give me is great. You know, I always looked at my hands as, you know, pretty sufficient, and, you know, I can use that. And whatever they need me to do, go out and catch balls, I'll do that, and whatever to help the team win.
That's Anita Marks with Giants running back Peyton Hillis. We are taking your calls at 201-939-4513 on Big Blue Hits Friday, fueled by Hess. Now, the Giants have had a rotating group of running backs, to say the least, this year. Brandon Jacobs returned from injuries a couple weeks ago. They rushed him 22 times. What happens? Hurts his hamstring, hasn't played since. Offensive coordinator Kevin Gilbride talked about the risk of overworking Peyton Hillis, who hasn't played a ton of football the last 2 years.
Yeah, I guess you have to be conscious of it to a point, but it's just that your options are so limited anyway, and there's certain things that you can ask Michael to do, and there's certain things you can ask, you know, Peyton to do, and when those things are coming up, they have to do them, and there's nowhere else to go.
Lance, Peyton Hillis last week, 18 carries, 36 yards, but he was a threat through the passing game, providing a valuable security blanket for Eli Manning.
He had 5 receptions. That was his biggest impact when you look at the box score. Eli Manning was able to drop it off, gain positive yardage that way, and that is something that the running backs have struggled with before Peyton Hillis arrived, catching the ball, running screen plays. It's been something we've been breaking down week in and week out. So this is a step in the right direction. The key is, can he keep those legs fresh for the rest of the way?
How much does it help him being in this system a second straight week and physically being adjusted to the contact for 2 straight weeks as a starter?
Well, that's a big boost. I mean, for a guy that's been on the couch, you figure now all of a sudden he's getting his legs back underneath him. And as Kevin Gilbride mentioned, Mike Sullivan was down in Tampa Bay. He was here with the Giants organization. So Peyton Hillis has had a taste of this Giants offense. The transition was made that much easier as a result.
Let's go back to our phone calls at 201-939-4513. Dave is in the Bronx. Dave, what's going on?
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up, Dave?
I wanted to get your thoughts. I know we're going into week 8, and it's still early in the season, and anything can happen. But I wanted to talk about the draft a little bit, if it's okay.
All right, go ahead, Dave. I got to tell you, though, I'm not up on the draft prospects yet. It's October. I haven't done too much homework.
I'm not going to talk about, like, specific people in the draft. I know the Giants in the past draft on, you know, based on talent and not on need.
Right.
But looking at the Giants team right now and all the injuries they've had, I mean, boy, they've had so many injuries. That hasn't been talked about. I think they're probably the most banged-up team in the league. I mean, the amount of injuries they've had and the amount of people they lost, starters.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
But just based on the need right now, I wanted to get your thoughts on the first 3 rounds and how you would draft, whether you would take an offensive lineman in the first 2 rounds or how would you draft. Personally, for me, I would take an offensive lineman in the first 2 rounds.
All right, Dave. Dave, this is where I would go with this. I think the Giants have a couple of needs. One, they have to shore up the interior of that offensive line, for one. They also have to improve the pass rush. And then for that third pick, I think that's, Lance, when you take a look at what the best player available is. The Giants certainly have needs. They have a lot of talent at the skill positions on offense. But on defense, you could talk about corners, perhaps, maybe a linebacker, which, of course, is a position of need, trying to infuse some youth into that spot. But I think linebacker, O-line, D-line is probably where they would look for the biggest needs.
And a lot will be dictated, John, based on what they do with the free agents that they'll have. Remember, a lot of guys are under one-year contracts. Do they re-sign John Beeson? Guys like Cullen Jenkins and even Mike Patterson were brought in on short-term deals. So they have to think long-term when they're approaching this offseason. But I think that defense is probably the right target to go with respect to the defensive line.
Remember, free agency comes first, too. So what you do in the draft is very much dependent on what you do in free agency. Back to the Giants' offense. One change they made last week, and in part it was because of the presence of Peyton Hillis, they went to a shorter passing game, not as many shots down the field. Giants wide receiver Victor Cruz said that helped the offense get into a better rhythm throughout the game.
I think we have to create some type of rhythm underneath and get the guys going, get the receivers going, catching one or two and getting themselves molded into the game and getting themselves acclimated slowly into the game, and then we hit them with the big one. So I think that's going to be somewhat of our game plan coming up this week, but we'll see how it plays. Everything, it always starts one way and then ends up differently, so we'll see.
And Lance, do you think this Giants offense is close to hitting its stride and looking like the offense it was of a couple years ago?
Well, the wide receivers are going to have to start hauling in those catches. That's going to be one key. And you got to get more consistency out of the running game. There's flashes, John, here. There's potential. How close they are, they've got to eliminate the mental mistakes. This is a team that on paper has all the ingredients in place. But the problem is, time after time, they continue to shoot themselves in the foot. If they clean those things up, then they'll get very close.
And one of the problems they have had this year, and last week specifically, is Hakeem Nicks, normally a very sure-handed wide receiver. He's had a number of drops this year that are very uncharacteristic. Hakeem Nicks thinks that's a little overblown, and it's being looked at simply because it's his contract year.
I don't feel like my game is too much different from what it's been in the past. I think people just putting a more significance on it just due to what kind of year it is for me. I think they just put a little bit more emphasis on that, but I think I'm still playing the game the way I've been playing it.
That brings us right to our Twitter question at Joey Cush. Lance, it's very simple. What's up with the Hakeem Nicks?
I think everybody wishes that they had the answer to that, including Eli Manning and company. I don't think anything's wrong with him from a technical standpoint. It's got to be mental at this point, John, because he was making these plays in years past. He just has to get back to the level of concentration that he showcased in previous seasons. He's getting good routes. The problem is the lack of concentration is forcing him to not come up with big play after big play.
And he was asked if it was his finger. He said it was not. He dismissed it out of hand. We'll have more on this match with the Eagles in a bit, but first, Carl Banks, breaks down the X's and O's with this week's edition of Strategy. Carl, take it away.
All right, let's take a look at the Eagles' offense. Now, there are two people that you're going to have to identify, LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson. Here, Jackson's in the backfield, so you have to be very careful that your defensive personnel don't get tricked into the wrong type of play. Let's take a look here. This is going to be a basic screen pass. But when you start to take risk, you'll see. Now, it goes to one back, and I'll freeze it. The entire defense is on one side of the field. No one's watching McCoy as he leaks out here on a screen pass. Now, play it. There's no one within 20 yards of this play. So when you're calling your defense, if it's some kind of man-to-man coverage, you can't take risk. Whoever has this guy has to stay with him right away. Let's take a look at the Eagles' defense. They're a much better defense than the Giants played earlier in the year. Let's take a look here. They're going to show a double A gap blitz. That seems to be the blitz that's trending in the NFL. So as offensive linemen, you've got to count potential rushers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many offensive linemen do you have to block those? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they have enough guys to block, but the key is communication, because whether they go one guy in each gap or two guys in another gap, they have to be picked up. So I'm going to run it, and I'll slow it down. I'll freeze it. They've already won. You've got two guys on one and one guy on two. Let's see what happens. The guy who has two gets none, and you got a free rusher. So communication is very important when you're pass protecting.
We're back on Big Blue Hits Friday. That's Carl Banks with Strategy, 201-939-4513. Give us a call. A few minutes to go. We'll try to get you in if you get on the phone lines. Of course, it is all fueled by Hess. And Lance, let's get right to it. This Eagles offense has been strong this year. Their defense has struggled, but the last few weeks, they've played a lot better football.
They have. They contain the Dallas Cowboys, who have a prolific offense, Dez Bryant and company. You know, Tony Romo has numerous weapons. They got Romo to throw two interceptions. They got to the quarterback. They're very physical with the wide receivers. I think that's part of the turnaround, and they're getting their pressure packages to fully execute. So those two factors have probably been the most notable changes with respect to this Eagles defense.
Let's stick with the offense first. Terrell Thomas spoke about the importance of slowing down Michael Vick, but more importantly, LeSean McCoy.
It's not really Vick, it's McCoy. You know, Vick's don't do what he's going to do. He's an explosive quarterback that can run the ball. So, you know, I mean, he's just like another running back that can throw it. So we just want to contain him, but we want to stop McCoy. He's leading the league in rushing, and I think we did a great job against him. And I think we had Vick covered pretty well other than that one scramble, and that was just a mentor on our defense. So just little stuff like that we got to correct, and we got to get turnovers. I think that was key in this game, special team-wise and defense. Thought kept the momentum in our favor and get a win.
Now, Lance, LeSean McCoy has not had big games the last few weeks. You wonder how much that has to do with the fact that Vic wasn't there, and that read option isn't quite as an effective play with Nick Foles back there instead of Michael Vick.
It's night and day. Nick Foles doesn't have necessarily that mobility factor that Michael Vick brings to the table. He had 79 yards rushing against the Giants in the first half alone. Now, McCoy wasn't that effective, but you have to game plan as a defense. Do we contain Vick? Do we contain McCoy? So that makes the Eagles' offense that much more dangerous compared to when Nick Foles is under center.
And McCoy's one of those big play guys. He can make those two or three big plays down the field, and the Giants have to keep him to those 2 or 3 yard gains they have to tackle.
And they did that very well in the first meeting, and the Cowboys were very effective in containing LeSean McCoy, and I think part of it was he had those tap shoes on. He was doing a lot of dancing, a little bit indecisive, so if the Giants can find their gaps, be well-disciplined, then they're not going to allow big runs like we've seen right here on video.
Yeah, and Michael Vick's a guy, too, that can hurt you with his arm and with his legs. And Lance was with that big scramble on the 3rd and 20-something against the Giants a few weeks ago. He can kill you both ways.
You read my mind. 3rd and 20, he picks up 34 yards. They continue the drive. They don't get in the end zone, but they settle for a field goal, and that was something that the Giants could have avoided. As you can see, Vic has a lot of versatility. He'll throw the deep pass, but he'll also be willing to run with the football. You wonder, though, how effective he's going to be with this hamstring injury. He's gotten 3 full days of practice in, so the Giants have to assume he's going to be full go.
Let's get to our Twitter question. This one comes in from @MeistyMac, and he wants to know who is most suited to slowing down DeSean Jackson in that New York Giants secondary.
Well, option number one would be Prince Amukamara, clearly because he has the most experience. To me, he's the most physical corner. Tremaine McBride, I think, would be another option. It wouldn't surprise me, and I don't think it would be a bad idea if they maybe even toyed throwing a safety with him once in a while, because you need to be physical with DeSean Jackson, John. His numbers have really exploded this season compared to what he had last year, when they only had about 700 yards through 7 games. Now he's got a lot more yards, and he had 7 receptions the first time against the Giants.
And he's the master of the big play over the top. Take a look at that Eagles offense. Look at the over the top plays. Look at the number of pass plays over 20 yards. Leads the NFL in that regard. Quick drives, 4 plays or less. These guys strike quickly.
And the reason why you don't want them to get the big plays and you don't want to get DeSean Jackson going, because that's going to open things up for LeSean McCoy, and it's also going to open up opportunities for Riley Cooper as well as Jason Avant, who have upped their numbers recently thanks to those big plays.
Lance, you mentioned the big physical cornerbacks very quickly on defense. A quiet star right now in the league is Fletcher Cox. He plays that 3-4 defensive end, goes inside in the sub packages. He can get after the quarterback.
He can. And I think the group as a whole around Fletcher Cox Fox is getting a better feel for this defense. Bill Davis changed things up. The first few games were like preseason. They were getting to know one another. Now it's not, oh, my God, who's next to me? I'm more comfortable with the guy next to me, and that's why the defense has been executing.
Appreciate the time, Lance. Eagles have allowed 21 or less in each of their last three games. For Lance Medow, I'm John Schmelk. All the time we have on Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. Thanks for joining us at Fueled by Hess. Have a great weekend, and enjoy the game, everybody.